What do ancient giants, childhood obesity, and skyscrapers have in common? They all reveal humanity's obsession with size, an attribute so fundamental that it shapes everything from our biology to our buildings, from our self-esteem to our economies. We live in a world where size matters profoundly, yet we rarely pause to consider why. From the moment children pick up crayons and draw their favorite people larger than those they dislike, to adults pursuing bigger homes despite shrinking families, we're constantly measuring, comparing, and judging based on dimensions. This isn't mere vanity or materialism. It's something deeper, woven into how our brains process the physical world. Understanding size means understanding the invisible rules that govern nature, technology, and even social hierarchies. It's about recognizing that when anything changes in scale, everything else must change too, and the consequences of ignoring this principle can be catastrophic. Our fascination with giants and miniatures runs deep through human culture. Ancient Mesopotamians told stories of Humbaba, Greeks feared Polyphemus, and these mythical beings evolved into Goliath, fairy tale monsters, and eventually Swift's Lilliputians and Brobdingnagians. But why do these extremes captivate us so thoroughly? The answer lies partly in our visual perception. We can appreciate enormity far more readily than minuteness. A towering cathedral inspires genuine awe in ways a miniature replica never could, no matter how exquisite its craftsmanship. Civilizations have always built monuments. Stonehenge, pyramids, cathedrals, super tall skyscrapers, satisfying a primal need for the monumental. Yet our greatest technical achievement may be going small. Miniaturization has enabled us to build larger than ever. Billions of transistors on fingernail-sized chips power massive cruise ships, sprawling data centers, and space stations. The microscopic has become the foundation for the gigantic. Meanwhile, human imagery has undergone Gulliverization. Renaissance frescoes showed figures slightly larger than life. The 1895 Lumiere cinematograph projected humans at twice their height. Modern IMAX theaters display people 10 times life size, while building projections have shown endangered animals 33 stories tall and fashion models 42 stories tall. Simultaneously, screens shrank to 4-centimeter wristomices. Today's screen range spans 4 centimeters to 150 meters, a 3,750-fold difference that makes Swift's 140-fold difference between Lilliputians and Brobdingnagians seem modest. Post-World War II prosperity triggered unprecedented supersizing. American homes ballooned to 2.5 times their previous size as families shrank. Refrigerators tripled in volume. TV screens expanded 15-fold. Vehicles transformed from modest sedans into SUVs weighing 2 to 3 times more. This wasn't necessity. It was affluence-driven expansion, assuming more equaled more happiness. Yet surveys show no corresponding increase in life satisfaction. This obsession with size created serious problems. Childhood obesity rates skyrocketed, potentially reversing longevity gains. Our understanding of healthy body sizes became distorted. Parents routinely underestimate their children's weight, while society normalizes dangerously overweight bodies as average. Restaurant plates grew from 25 centimeters to 30 centimeters diameter, a 44% surface area increase, and portions reached absurd extremes like 64-ounce steaks. With nearly 15 billion portable screens globally by 2020, many now spend more time with virtual humans than actual people. We're drowning in excess, struggling to recognize when enough is truly enough. Height functions as powerful social currency. Humans gained 8 to 9 centimeters on average over the past century, with Dutch men now averaging 183.8 centimeters, world's tallest, and South Korean women growing 20 centimeters, though sub-Saharan populations barely changed. These differences reflect genetics, up to 90%, plus childhood nutrition and economics. Taller people are perceived as healthier, smarter, and more confident, perceptions yielding tangible benefits. Swedish CEOs of larger companies averaged 3 centimeters taller than those running smaller firms. In China, each centimeter increases Communist Party membership probability by 0.05%. Height affects romantic prospects and leadership perceptions. Downsides exist. Each centimeter correlates with 0.5 to 0.7 fewer years of life and roughly 10% higher cancer risk per 10 centimeter. More cells create more mutation targets. Yet, these health costs rarely outweigh social advantages, revealing how unconscious biases equate physical stature with capability and dominance, a pattern persisting across cultures and history. The golden ratio's link to beauty is largely myth. Enthusiasts claim this 1.618 proportion appears in the Parthenon, Da Vinci's paintings, and human faces. But mathematician George Markovsky found zero evidence in famous buildings or artworks. Studies consistently fail to support the idea. Only 17% of Malaysian students' facial proportions matched the ratio, and Miss Universe winners showed significant deviations. The term golden ratio only emerged in the 19th century when German psychologist Adolf Zeising promoted it as a universal law, despite weak evidence. Yet the myth persists. Turkish physicians claim heart rhythms follow this God ratio, and Dubai built a $60 million Dubai frame to golden proportions. We desperately want beauty to be quantifiable, reducible to formulas we can measure. The golden ratio satisfies this psychological need, even when reality contradicts it. Perhaps beauty's true nature lies in its resistance to simple formulations, in the complex interplay of symmetry, proportion, cultural context, and individual perception that no single number can capture. Jonathan Swift's Gulliver's Travels illustrates scaling errors Galileo identified a century earlier. Swift wrongly assumed body mass scales as the cube of height with identical behavior across sizes. His tiny Lilliputians would lose heat rapidly due to high surface-to-volume ratios, requiring constant eating, while water would cling disproportionately, up to 15% of body weight after rain. His 21-meter Brobdingnagians would face interior overheating and impossible biomechanics. Their bones couldn't support their weight due to calcium appetite strength limits. Giant horses would weigh 70 to 75 tons and shatter their legs stepping. As Galileo explained in 1638, for every machine and structure, whether artificial or natural, there is set a necessary limit beyond which neither art nor nature can pass. This extends to real engineering. Across 10 orders of magnitude, from flying insects to jet engines, 1 kilogram of motor mass consistently produces 43 to 71 newtons of force. Physical reality imposes clear size limits on all organisms and machines. Not everything follows the bell curve. Czech statistician Jaromír Korčák identified 2 fundamental patterns. Center distributions dominate where internal biological factors rule, organ sizes, human heights, while asymmetric power law distributions prevail where external physical forces dominate, earthquakes, river flows, island sizes. George Kingsley Zipp extended this to human phenomena. Word frequency in English is inversely proportional to rank. The appears twice as often as of, 3 times as often as and. City sizes follow similar patterns. The largest is roughly twice the second largest. Wealth distribution is most striking. Globally, 55% of adults own just 1.3% of wealth, while 1.1% control 45%. In the U.S., the poorest half owns merely 1% of total wealth. Power laws reveal that extreme inequality isn't an anomaly requiring minor adjustments, but a natural tendency requiring deliberate counterbalancing forces. The ancient principle Galileo articulated, that every structure has necessary limits, applies not just to giants and skyscrapers, but to our economies and aspirations. Our challenge isn't to keep growing, it's to find the right size for flourishing within the limits that govern all things.